ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। Today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 21, Text number 44. Gunayanam Shila Dhanam Krita Gyam Vridashrayam Sam Rinate Nusambadaha Prasidatam Brahmakulam Gavamcha Janardana Sanucharash Chamayam. Whoever acquires the Brahminical qualifications, whose only wealth is good behavior, who is grateful and who takes shelter of experienced persons, gets all the opulence of the world. I therefore wish that the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his associates be pleased with the Brahmana class, with the cows, and with me. This is spoken by Maharaj Prithu. By whom? Correct. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is worshipped with the prayer, Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha. Thus it is clear that the Supreme Personality of Godhead respects and protects the Brahmanas and Brahminical culture as well as the cows. In other words, wherever there are Brahmanas and Brahminical culture, there are cows and cow protection. In a society or civilization in which there are no Brahmanas or Brahminical culture, cows are treated as ordinary animals and slaughtered at the sacrifice of human civilization. The specific mention of the word Gavam by Prithu Maharaj is significant because the Lord is always associated with cows and his devotees. In pictures, Lord Krishna is always seen with cows and his associates, such as the cowherd boys and the gopis. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, cannot be alone. Therefore, Prithu Maharaj said, Sanu Charash Cha. What did he say? Indicating that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always associated with his followers and devotees. Sorry, one second. A devotee acquires all the good qualities of the demigods. He is Gunayanam. What is he?
Gunayanam.
The reservoir of all good qualities. His only asset is good behavior, and he is grateful. Gratitude for the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is one of the qualities of Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. Everyone should feel grateful to the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he is maintaining all living entities and supplying all their necessities. As stated in the Vedas, Katha Upanishad 2.2.13, Eko bahunam yovidhati kaman. What does it say? The Supreme One is supplying all necessities to the living entities. Do you feel that? That he's supplying you all necessities? Very good. The living entity who is therefore grateful to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is certainly qualified with good characteristics. The word vridhashrayam, what word? Is very significant in this verse. Vridha refers to one who is advanced in knowledge. There are two kinds of old men. He who is advanced in years and he who is experienced in knowledge. One who is advanced in knowledge is actually vridha, jnana vridha. One does not become vridha simply by advancing in age. Vridashrayam, a person who takes shelter of a superior person who is advanced in knowledge, can acquire all the good qualities of a Brahmana and be trained in good behavior. Please, I'll listen to this again. Vridashrayam, a person who takes shelter of a superior person who is advanced in knowledge, can acquire all the good qualities of a brahmana and be trained in good behavior. When one actually attains good qualities, becomes grateful for the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and takes shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, he is endowed with all opulence. Such a person is a brahmana or Vaishnava. Therefore, Prithu Maharaj invokes the blessings and mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead with his associates, devotees, Vaishnavas, brahmanas, and cows. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Dina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manopishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadahmayam Dadati Swa Padantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Gopremanande Hare Hare Bo. A couple points that I'll make from this particular verse and purport today from Prithu Maharaj. One is that one statement I like very much, his only asset is good behavior, and he is grateful. That's on one sentence. His only asset is good behavior, and he's grateful. Who is he talking about? He's talking about the devotees who acquire all the good qualities of the demigods. Yes, yasti bhaktir bhagavati akinchana sarvar gunas tatra samasate sura harava bhaktasya kuto muhadguna manorati nasati davato bahi. Confirmed in the Bhagavatam 5.18.12 that when one serves the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one naturally acquires all the good qualities of the devas. Or as Jiva Goswami puts it in his commentary to Bhaktivinoda Sindhu, a devotee who is advancing on the path of devotional service has such good qualities that even the devas want to associate with him. And what is that? What are those good qualities? Well, Prabhupada mentions here gratitude. Not only that, it's such a blessing to know that a good behavior is the asset. In fact, as he puts here, it's the only asset. Other kinds of assets are only apparent assets, but good behavior is something that can be obtained only when one has a purity of heart. And one's purpose in life is directed solely towards serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As mentioned in many places, for instance, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Tasmad ekena manasa bhagavan sattvatam pati shrotavya kirtitavyasya dyeya pujasya nityada. that one should have one-pointed attention in worshiping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Tasmat ekena. This is a therefore verse because it's been described how by simply worshiping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one comes to the perfection of life, one attains all good qualities, one gets knowledge and detachment from the world, as an example. And therefore, the Shastra says, simply focus your mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Vyavasayatmika buddhir eke hakuru nandana bahushaka hyanantascha buddhayo vyavasayinam. That those who are on the path of devotional service are resolute and their minds fixed on the purpose of life, which is to serve Krishna and to attain higher and higher stages of loving service to the Lord. Whereas those who don't have that purpose in their heart have intelligence which is many-branched. Bahushaka, many-branched. Bahushaka hi anantas. Anantas means unlimited. Buddhayo avyavasayina means that their intelligence is avyavasayina, which means that it's not resolute, it's not fixed in any one place. So if one has this resoluteness and purpose to fix one's goal as the ultimate purpose of life is to serve Krishna, then one is very fortunate.
Is it too warm in here? Just one tick down or something.
Lectures and warm rooms do not go well together. Curling up into a little ball and going to sleep is more conducive in such a place. Of course, that's just me. So, how does one attain this resoluteness and purpose? How does one attain all the good qualities of the demigods? Yes, generally we say by performing devotional service, but specifically, what kind of devotional service? How is it to be performed? What is the expedient means of attaining perfection in the process of devotional service? Are these all questions worthy of asking? Yes or yes? Thank you. Now I would like to explain from the words of our Acharya Sanatan Goswami how this is perfectly performed. And this, from now I will perform a magic trick that will amaze and astound you by reading from an ancient text called the Brihat Bhagavatamrita. This is such a magic trick that cannot be imitated anywhere else because this book was painstakingly brought about first by the arrival of Srila Prabhupada in the United States of America, who then propagated the Srimad Bhagavatam and the very culture of Vaishnavism all over the world and opened the door for very advanced living entities to come in and participate in the process. One of those advanced living entities was named Gopi Puranadana Prabhu, who happened to be a linguist at Columbia University. And then when he got connected to the Krishna consciousness movement, applied his skills in translating Sanskrit texts throughout his life. And then, after the departure of Srila Prabhupada, based on one of the many statements Prabhupada made about the importance of this seminal Vaishnava book, the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, Gopi Pranodana Prabhu, His Holiness Keshav Bharti Maharaj and Jai Dwaita Maharaj worked together as a team to bring this book to the public. It's very not very well known because most people are not interested in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita or in the Bhagavatam or in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita or in Krishna at all. They're more interested in getting a new car or nothing wrong with that, but I mean that becomes the main focus. I just heard about a special event that took place. Only rich people could attend, but they came there to see the many different kinds of cars, classic cars that people had. This book isn't about that. It's about pure devotional service. And here we have story written from the revelation of Srila Sanatan Goswami about Gopakumar going back home, back to Godhead. In the process, or after he goes back to Godhead, he comes back again to the material world to take a disciple. Actually, he was implored to do so by Srimati Radharani herself. And he comes back, meets his disciple, and is directing him how to go back to Godhead also. So this is the process that one takes the help of those who have already attained the perfect path in life by coming in contact with a devotee of the Lord. Now there's an epic purport that I'm about to read, and it'll take a few minutes. Do you have a few minutes this morning? You do? Okay, good. Because this is a very important purport. It comes in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita in chapter number 7 called Jagadananda, the Bliss of the Worlds. This is from volume 3, chapter 7. And this is a very eventful chapter in which Gopakumar and his disciple meet Krishna. And within this chapter, there's a purport. Which is number 14. And Sanatana Goswami had a few things to say on the topic that was brought up by Srila Prabhupada in his purport today about the importance of the association of Vaishnavas. Are you ready to hear this? Surikund is, Dainidi is, checking in. Shraddha, ready? Yes? Okay, we have consensus. Okay, please fasten your seat belts. In a case of a drop in altitude, the oxygen bag will drop down. Please put it over your own nose and mouth before you administer to the people next to you. If you become too intoxicated by hearing this, Mahat Sangama Mahatmyam Evaitat Paramadbhutam Kritarto Yena Vipro Sao Sadyo Bhut Tat Swarupavat. Such are the most amazing glories of contact with a great saint. By that contact, this Brahmana suddenly achieved perfection, realizing his eternal identity. Purport by Sanatan Goswami, translated by Gopi Puranadana Prabhu. Usually only the Lord's most qualified devotees attain pure love of God after long endeavor for the Lord's special mercy. How then could this Brahmana have achieved prema so quickly? Only by coming in contact with a powerful saint. The Brahmana's own efforts alone would have been of no avail. His success was possible by the unique glories of Vaishnava association, incomprehensible to material minds. In the Srimad Bhagavatam 3.23.55, Sri Devahuti remarks, Sango ya samsritir hetur asatsu vihito diya saeva sadushu krito nishangat vayakulpate. Association to gratify the senses is certainly the path of bondage. But the same type of association performed with a saintly person leads to the path of liberation, even if performed without knowledge. When an ignorant person mixes with other degraded persons, the result is entanglement in material existence in the enjoyment of food, drink, sex, and so on. But the company of pure souls, even if entered into with the same ignorance, enables one to become nisanga, free in two ways, detached from matter and uplifted to pure love of God. Prema is a form of detachment because it shuns all pursuits other than the attempt to please the personality of Godhead. Therefore, as stated in the Yoga Vishishta Ramayana, where is it stated? Okay, you can impress your friends when you go back in the office on Monday. According to the Yoga Vashishta Ramayan, the following statement is made. In all circumstances, one should approach saintly persons. Even if one receives no teachings, spontaneous dialogue with them imparts valuable lessons. When one approaches persons who have real knowledge, emptiness overflows with fullness, death becomes immortal nectar, and disasters can seem like good fortune. How many of you would like to hear that again? Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Okay, it's unanimous. In all circumstances, one should approach saintly persons. Even if one receives no teachings, spontaneous dialogue with them imparts valuable lessons. When one approaches persons who have real knowledge, emptiness overflows with fullness, death becomes immortal nectar, and disasters can seem like good fortune. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Vidura says, by serving the feet of the spiritual master, one develops transcendental ecstasy in the service of the personality of Godhead, who is the unchangeable enemy of the Madhu demon and whose service vanquishes one's material distresses. Vidura here speaks to his Shiksha Guru, Maitreya Muni. By serving Maitreya, Vidura expects to obtain the service of the Supreme Lord, who is difficult to understand, but whom one can approach by serving his pure devotees. The Supreme Person is Kutastha, which means both unchanging and inconceivable. He is also Kutastha in the sense that he is famous for being offered Anakuta, a mountain of food, while standing on a special peak, that of, please work with me. Where is Anakuta offered? Is that unanimous or only Shraddha and Madhava Govinda? What? Anakut. Please say Govardhan. Thank you. At the lotus feet of Krishna, the enemy of the demon Madhu, a sincere servant of the Vaishnavas can obtain Rati Ras, a never-ending festival of prema, from which comes an enjoyment so intense, tivra, that nothing can impede or interrupt it. Material existence is full of various miseries, but devotional service at Lord Krishna's lotus feet, padayaho, eradicates them all. Or if we take padayaho to modify vyasanardana, the meaning of the two words together is that which destroys the pain felt by the feet. Krishna's rasa-lila is mostly a festival of dancing, and dancing means moving the feet. By entering the rasa dance, one's feet will be relieved of the distress they feel from doing other things. This is a point also made by Srila Prabhupada in the Srimad Bhagavatam, where the various senses, working senses and knowledge-gathering senses, are being described. And there, the feet are described as one of the important senses that we have. You can take them for granted because you just get out of bed or out of your chair and you walk to where you want to walk. But the feet are senses that help us do that. And the purpose of the feet is to take one closer to Krishna. If one is walking towards the temple, as I mentioned this morning, you all voted with your feet. You use your feet to come here to the temple. That's the perfection of that sense of the feet. Those people who don't have Krishna as the goal of life, for instance, penguins. Are you familiar with penguins? You ever met one? You've met a penguin? Okay. Penguins spend an inordinate amount of time walking on glaciers and icy surfaces. And there was a documentary made about penguins and how they stand in the freezing, blasting cold in the Antarctica, taking care of their young. And it's a meager existence, to say the least. And they walk, they kind of waddle, actually, from here to there. That's use of feet, walking across glaciers to take care of your children so they can grow up and do the same thing that you did. And this is the plight of those who don't have Krishna as the ultimate goal of life. But those whose goal is Krishna use their feet to walk in his service. And that's a great relief for the living entity, to be able to walk for Krishna, to walk to the temple, to walk to service, to walk out, to perform sankirtan, to walk into the kitchen, to wash pots and so forth, to have that volition to use one's feet in that way. It gives great relief to the feet and to the soul. So we can never take that for granted. As long as we have power of locomotion within our body, we should use every ounce of strength and the power of our limbs to try to serve Krishna. Whatever you decide. Yeah, I don't want to interrupt everything, so you'll have to do it. As Sri Kapiladev tells his mother, Satam prasangan mamavirya sambido bhavanti hritkarna rasayana kata tajjoshanarashu apavargavartmani shudaratir bhaktir anukramishati. Who knows the verse? Satam prasangam mamavirya sambido. One person? You should all, two people, three, four, should all learn the verse. Oh, there's devotees here. Couldn't see before. This verse says, very important verse, in the association of pure devotees, discussion of the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very pleasing and satisfying to the ear and the heart. By cultivating knowledge of the Lord's activities, one gradually becomes advanced on the path of liberation, and thereafter one is freed and one's attraction becomes fixed. Then real devotion and devotional service begin. Here, Lord Kapiladev mentions three symptoms of the gradual development of prema. Firm conviction, shraddha, love for the Lord, rati, and unswerving dedication to his service, bhakti. In the course of devotional advancement, each of these symptoms becomes manifest naturally without separate endeavor. Lord Kapiladev does not intend to say that the sequence of development is literally shraddha, then rati, and then bhakti. Rather, we should understand that first a new devotee acquires faith, shraddha, then takes up the process of bhakti by hearing, chanting, and serving, and later achieves rati. Because bhakti means both the practice of devotional service and the mature stage of spontaneous love, to say that rati, prema, is the fruit of bhakti is correct. With this same concept of bhakti in mind, Sri Dhruva prays to Lord Vishnu, O unlimited Lord, kindly bless me so that I may associate with great devotees who engage in your transcendental loving service constantly, as the waves of a river constantly flow. Such transcendental devotees are completely situated in an uncontaminated state of life. By the process of devotional service, surely I will be able to cross the nescient ocean of material existence, which is filled with the waves of blazing fire-like dangers. It will be easy for me, for I am becoming mad to hear about your transcendental qualities and pastimes, which are eternally existent. Because the devotees of Vishnu serve him constantly, their hearts are completely pure, and for that reason they are exalted souls. The association of such Vaishnavas is extremely desirable. One who achieves it need not bother aspiring for the fourth goal of life, liberation, for liberation comes automatically as a byproduct of pure devotion. Dhruva anticipates that in the company of Vaishnavas he will drink the nectar of topics about the Supreme Lord, which will intoxicate him and empower him to cross effortlessly the dangerous ocean of samsara. Drunkards are mainly interested in the taste of their liquor. They have only a superficial interest in the secondary effects of alcohol, such as its ability to ease the discomfort of cold weather. In the same way, devotees have a taste for drinking the nectar of Bhagavad Bhakti. Devotees who have a taste for drinking the nectar of Bhagavad Bhakti consider relishing that elixir forever their principal goal. They accept liberation and other secondary benefits only when such boons do not obstruct that eternal delight. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Shiva gives this opinion. Quote, if one by chance associates with a devotee, even for a fraction of a moment, one is no longer subject to attraction by the results of karma and jnana. What interest then can he have in the benedictions of the demigods who are subject to the laws of birth and death? My dear Lord, your lotus feet are the cause of all auspicious things and the destroyer of all contamination of sin. I therefore beg your lordship to bless me with the association of your devotees, who are completely purified by worshipping your lotus feet and who are so merciful upon the conditioned souls. I think that your real benediction will be to allow me to associate with such devotees. Rather than liberation, want to speak of royal power and the other kinds of success that ordinary people value, Lord Shiva would prefer even a moment's association with those who keep company with the personality of Godhead. In other words, the company of the Supreme Lord's devotees dances on the heads of other goals of life. The lotus feet of the Supreme Lord who killed the demon named Ugha remove all sin. The Lord's fame is the source of all holy tirthas, including the river Ganga and also the river Jamuna, whose bathing ghats the gopis approach to fetch water. Lord Shiva takes two purifying baths, one externally in the Ganga and the other internally in the Jamuna. Similarly, a bath in the Supreme Lord's fame purifies his devotees in two ways. Externally, by absolving them from hellish punishment, and internally, by cleansing their hearts of desires for material enjoyment. Persons dedicated to the fame of the Supreme Lord and to his lotus feet are merciful to all creatures. Such devotees always live purely, devoid of lust and other contaminations of the heart, and they have simplicity and all other exemplary qualities. Lord Shiva prays that Lord Vishnu's greatest mercy on him would be simply to let him come in touch with the Supreme Lord's devotees. Keep going. In the fifth canto, Sri Jad Bharat speaks likewise. Rahu ganai tattapasa nayati na chejaya nirvapanad grihadva na chandasa naiva jalagni suryar vina mahatpadarajo bishekam. My dear King Rahugana, unless one has the opportunity to smear his entire body with the dust of the lotus feet of great devotees, one cannot realize the absolute truth. One cannot realize the absolute truth simply by observing celibacy, by strictly following the rules and regulations of household or life, by leaving home as a vanaprastha, by accepting sannyas, or by undergoing severe penances in winter, by keeping oneself submerged in water, or in summer by surrounding oneself by fire and the scorching heat of the sun. There are many other processes to understand the absolute truth, but the absolute truth is revealed only to one who has attained the mercy of a great devotee. Yatro paramata, yatro tama shloka gunanuvada prastut yate gramya kata vigataha nishev yamano nu dinam mumukshor matim satim yachati vasudeve. Who are the pure devotees mentioned here? In an assembly of pure devotees, there is no question of discussing material subjects like politics and sociology. In an assembly of pure devotees, there is discussion only of the qualities, forms, and pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is praised and worshipped with full attention. In the association of pure devotees, by constantly hearing topics respectfully, even a person who wants to merge into the existence of the Absolute Truth abandons this idea and gradually becomes attached to the service of Vasudeva. In the verse, just can you like to be there in the moment that person abandons that idea of merging into the Supreme Lord? You could see at a certain point, by the association of devotees, there's a transformation of heart that is noticeable. It's noticeable to the person who's undergoing the transformation. And that takes place in the association of the Vaishnav devotees of the Lord. The living entity is open to suggestion. So if one associates with people who have a vested interest in the material world, one will also subtly accept that as a goal of life, that is, to rearrange one's situation in the material world in order to become happy, famous, wealthy, and so forth. However, by association with pure devotees of the Lord, one will develop within one's heart, first of all, one will notice a loss of the long-cherished desire to enjoy or control matter. That's noticeable. In fact, I know somebody who took some medicine that completely removes the hormones that cause lust within the body. And he said, well, I thought I had become a Paramahamsa. I realized it was the medicine. But it's absolutely noticeable. When there's a stilling of... Good to see you today. When there's a stilling of the normal kinds of stimuli that push us to try to enjoy the material world, when that ceases by association of pure devotees of the Lord, it's... As Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur notes in his commentary in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, describing how devotional service weeds out the various anartas or unwanted desires within the heart, a time for celebration. He says, when the heart becomes clear of these particular obstructions, then one can hold a festival. He can install Krishna within the throne of his heart, and then he can have a festival. Invite a lot of people over and say, please come and have prasadam. It's a great day today. I've been able to install Krishna on the throne of my heart. Sometimes people talk about big projects. Let's do a big project. Let's build a big building. That's the biggest project of all, is to systematically associate with devotees or spontaneously, whichever way you can attain it, and become purified in heart and install Krishna upon the throne of one's heart. Building a temple within one's heart is the biggest of all projects. It's very rarely done. So we can take this guidance from Srila Sanatan Goswami that by closely associating with the devotees of the Lord and rajobhishekam, which means taking a bath, an abhishek. You must have an abhishek for yourself. And how are you going to achieve that? Rajo Bhishekam. Rajo means dust. You take the dust from the feet of the Vaishnavas. If you find an advanced Vaishnava and you offer service, this is the way Krishna recommends in the Bhagavad Gita. Tad vidi pranipratena priprashnena sevaya uparakshanti te jnanam jnaninas tatvadarshina. Find an advanced Vaishnava and render some personal service. This indicates inquiries, personal inquiries to remove doubts, offering various kinds of service. Please, I'm at your disposal. You please ask me to do something for you. And being very humble and open, pratiprashnena, offering one's respects to such a person. By that, there's an inexplicable, boy, I hate to use this word, but download of information and mercy that comes from the heart of such an advanced devotee to the heart of the person who humbly approaches that person. And in that sequence lies the full success of spiritual life. That is the beginning, middle, and end of all advancement. The root cause of advancement in devotional service is this contact with advanced devotees of the Lord and rendering a service, inquiring submissively, and being very humble in their presence. That is confirmed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, who says as much in a very succinct way, and in an extended way as well, in his teachings to Sanatan Goswami. In the verse just before, the two quoted here, Judd Bharat, keep going.
Yes.
Identify the absolute truth as Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead, and as Vasudev, the darling son of Vasudev. Now he tells King Rahugada that this supreme person is impossible to achieve by any of the usual methods of spiritual advancement unless Along with those methods, one bathes in the dust of the feet of pure Vaishnavas. It is not enough to follow the prescribed duties of one's varna and ashram. Concentrate one's mind in one-pointed tapas. Execute Vedic sacrifices. Distribute food and other charity. Work piously as a householder. Study the Vedas or worship fire, water, the other elements of nature, and their presiding deities, Varuna, Agni, and so on. These efforts may help one achieve the favor of Lord Vasudev only when the sadhaka has also pleased the Lord's devotees. And by satisfying the devotees, one can win the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even if one has not performed any of the purifying acts. Lord Krishna is known as Uttama Shloka. What's he called? He whose spotless fame drives away all ignorance. When one has bathed in the dust of the feet of his devotees, one can enter the company of those devotees and hear from them about Krishna, Krishna's transcendental qualities, beginning with his incessant kindness towards his devotees. Hearing day after day this pure Krishna katha raises a materialist to the level of an aspirant for liberation, and such an aspirant to the level of sincere interest in devotional service to Krishna. In the same narration, Rahugana replies to Judd Bharat, "This birth as a human being on earth is the best of all. Even birth among the demigods and the heavenly planets is not glorious. What is the use of the exalted position of a demigod? Even the heavenly planets, due to profuse material comforts, there is no possibility of associating with devotees. Human life is the most congenial situation for becoming attracted to Bhagavat Bhakti. Demigod life may be desirable to foolish people, but great saints like Judd Bharat rarely even visit the heavenly planets. The demigods, being too much absorbed in sense gratification, generally do not deserve the company of such pure Vaishnavas. Rather than travel to heaven, saintly Vaishnavas who keep their hearts cleansed by contemplating the glories of Lord Hrishikesh usually prefer to wander among the holy places on earth." In the opinion of Sri Prahlad Maharaj, "Naisham matistha varukramangrim sprishat janartha pagamo yadartha mahiya sampadara jo bishekam niskinchananam navranita yavat." Unless persons very much inclined toward materialistic life smear upon their bodies the dust of the lotus feet of a Vaishnava, completely freed from material contamination, such persons cannot be attached to the lotus feet of the Lord, who is glorified for his uncommon activities. Only by becoming Krishna conscious and taking shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord, in this way can one be freed from material contamination. That's from Bhagavatam 7.5.32. Just before Prahlad made this statement, he expressed concern for the ignorant materialists of this world who cannot recognize that the best goal for their own interest is Lord Vishnu. Such gross materialists must bathe in the foot dust of pure Vaishnavas who reject all forms of selfish enjoyment and care about nothing but Bhagavat Bhakti, for otherwise the minds of such gross materialists can never shift towards devotional service to the Lord. Without the mercy of great devotees, foolish materialists cannot ascertain spiritual truth, even theoretically, what to speak of reap its tangible fruits. In the words of King Muchukunda, "When the material life of a wandering soul has come to an end, O Achyuta, he may attain the association of your devotees. And when he associates with them, there awakens within him devotion unto you, who are the goal of the devotees and the Lord of all causes and effects." That verse is quoted twice by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his teachings to Sanatana Goswami. And what chapter is that in the chapter and section of the Chaitanya Charitamrita for 10 points? Pure devotional service, 22, yeah. Anyway, that whole section in the Madhya Lila is very important. Sanatan Siksha. There's also Rupa Siksha, where Sanatan and Rupa Goswami received direct instructions from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One can study that again and again. And this same point is made by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu about the importance of approaching Krishna through his devotees. Conditioned souls wander aimlessly in the cycle of birth and death, and only after they have become fed up with this wandering are they allowed to come in touch with pure devotees, pure Vaishnavas. Then, by the company of saintly Vaishnavas, a few of these fortunate souls are not only released from the cycle of birth and death, samsara, but also given something much more precious, pure love for the supreme controller of all causes and effects. And if they are not fortunate enough to achieve intimate love for the Supreme Lord, at least they learn how to reverentially serve him, the ruler of all great demigods and ordinary creatures. These opinions are confirmed by Lord Krishna himself in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Just as cold, fear, and darkness are eradicated for one who has approached the sacrificial fire, so dullness, fear, and ignorance are destroyed for one engaged in serving the devotees of the Lord. The devotees of the Lord, peacefully fixed in absolute knowledge, are the ultimate shelter for those who are repeatedly rising and falling within the fearful ocean of material life. The devotees are just like a strong boat that comes to rescue persons at the point of drowning. Just as food is the life of all creatures, just as I am the ultimate shelter for the distressed, and just as religion is the wealth of those who are passing away from this world, my devotees are the only refuge of persons fearful of falling into a miserable condition of life. My devotees bestow divine eyes, whereas the sun allows only external sight, and that only when risen in the sky. My devotees are one's real worshipable deities and real family. They are one's own self, and ultimately they are non-different from me. Just as by approaching fire one can get relief from darkness and fear of snakes and wild animals, by approaching pure Vaishnavas one can be freed from the darkness of materialistic life, from fear of what will happen in the future, and from forgetting and for forgetfulness of blissful service to the Lord, a forgetfulness that underlies all material ignorance and fear. I'm going to read that last sentence again because there's some specific points there that may be relatable. Just as by approaching fire one can get relief from darkness and fear of snakes and wild animals, by approaching pure Vaishnavas one can be freed from the darkness of materialistic life, from fear of what will happen in the future, and for forgetfulness of blissful service to the Lord, a forgetfulness that underlies all material ignorance and fear. The prefix upa in the verse beginning yatopa shraya shraya manasya, that is yata upa shraya manasya, indicate the idea of approaching from a distance. This implies that one can gain the blessings of Vaishnavas by serving them even in separation. Saintly Vaishnavas who understand the absolute truth as he appears in Vrajadham can deliver persons entrapped in the cycle of higher and lower births. The Vaishnavas are qualified to give such a priceless gift because they have realized the glories of Krishna's devotional service, which is the confidential essence of the Vedic teachings. Such devotees, peaceful and unagitated even by the prospect of being liberated, bestow upon fortunate souls various types of spiritual vision, realization of the impersonal and personal features of the Absolute Truth, and discernment of the many different modes of Bhagavad Bhakti. The external sun, in contrast, gives light, but only in a limited way. Rather than attempt to enumerate all the glories of Vaishnavas, an impossible task, we should know that a single saintly devotee equals all the demigods combined. Pure devotees are our real friends and our own dear soul, the source of our life. In fact, in Krishna's opinion, the Vaishnavas are non-different from himself. Earlier in Srimad Bhagavatam 11.11.49, Krishna said to Uddhava, "Now I will tell you something especially confidential because you are my servant." well-wisher and companion. Krishna then said, Nadrodhayati mam yogo, na sankhyam dharma udhava, na swadhyayas tapastyago, neshta purtam na dakshina. Vratani yajnas chandamsi, tirtani niyama yamaha, yata varundhe satsanga, sarva sangha paho himam. My dear Uddhava, by associating with my devotees, by associating with my pure devotees, one can destroy one's attachment for all objects of material sense gratification. Such purifying association brings me under one's control. One may perform the Astanga Yoga system, engage in philosophical analysis of the elements of material nature, practice violence and other non-violence and other ordinary principles of piety, or chant the Vedas. One may perform penances, take to the renounced order of life, execute sacrificial performances, and dig wells, plant trees, and perform other public welfare activities. One may give charity, carry out severe vows, worship the demigods, chant confidential mantras, visit holy places, or accept major and minor disciplinary injunctions. But even by performing such activities, one does not bring me under one's control. The first and second steps of Patanjali Rishi's Ashtanga Yoga method are the 12 niyamas, minor regulations, and 12 yamas, major regulations. Sri Krishna lists these for Uddhava. Nonviolence, truthfulness, unwillingness to covet or steal the property of others, detachment, humility, freedom from possessiveness, trust in the principles of religion, celibacy, silence, steadiness, forgiveness, and fearlessness are the 12 primary disciplinary principles. Internal cleanliness, external cleanliness, chanting the holy names of the Lord, austerity, sacrifice, faith, hospitality, worship of me, visiting holy places, acting for and desiring only the supreme interest, satisfaction and service to the spiritual master are the 12 elements of regular prescribed duties. These 24 elements bestow all desired benedictions upon those persons who devotedly cultivate them. The company of exalted Vaishnavas counteracts not only material attachment, but also attachment to the Supreme Lord's pastimes in Vaikuntha and abodes other than Goloka. What to speak of the power of direct contact with Vaishnavas, even hearing descriptions of their greatness, leads to the highest success. As Sri Vidura states in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Shrutasya Pumsam Suchira Shamasya Nandyanjasa Suribir Iditorta Tad Guna Nu Shravanam Mukunda Padaravindam Hridayeshu Yesham. Persons who hear from a spiritual master with great labor and for a long time must hear from his mouth about the character and activities of pure devotees, who always think within their hearts of the lotus feet of Mukunda, the personality of Godhead, who then awards them liberation. In the fourth canto, Dhruva Maharaj makes a similar statement. My Lord, the transcendental bliss derived from meditating upon your lotus feet or hearing about the glories of your pure devotees is so unlimited that it is far beyond the stage of Brahmananda, wherein one thinks himself merged in the impersonal Brahman as one with the Supreme. Since Brahmananda is also defeated by the transcendental bliss derived from devotional service, then what to speak of the temporary bliss of elevating oneself to the heavenly planets, which is ended by the separating sword of time? Although one may be elevated to the heavenly planets, he falls down in due course of time. And not only is complete success in life guaranteed by any contact with the Supreme Lord's devotees, but even the company of the devotee of his devotees is enough to assure perfection. Thus Dhruva Maharaj says, O Lord, who have a lotus navel, if a person happens to associate with someone whose heart hankers after the lotus feet of your devotees, whose heart always seeks the fragrance of those lotus feet, he is never attached to the material body or in a bodily relationship to offspring, friends, home, wealth, and wife, which are very, very dear to materialistic persons. Indeed, he does not care for them. So it's extending. Now, not just association with pure devotees, but association with those who hanker for the association of pure devotees bestows such benefit. It's so auspicious. Unlike anyone else, including the impersonalist yogi, the advanced devotees who have pure love for the Supreme Lord's lotus feet are completely free from the falsity of identifying themselves with the body. In the words of Lord Vishnu's Hamsa incarnation in the Bhagavatam 11th canto, quote, just as a drunken man doesn't notice whether or not he is wearing his coat and shirt, one who is perfect in self-realization and has thus achieved his eternal identity doesn't notice whether the temporary body is sitting or standing. Indeed, if by God's will the body is finished or by God's will he obtains a new body, a self-realized soul doesn't notice. Just as a drunken man doesn't notice the situation of his outward dress. We have our guru in that respect who sometimes blesses us at the Harinam program and comes and stands before us. Last night, he visited us, our guru, to teach us this principle of being oblivious to cold, to public shame, to one's body deteriorating in front of one's own eyes. You can see the example of somebody who's completely pickled by alcohol to not notice what's going on in the external environment. And so this example has something that one can relate to and see that a pure devotee of the Lord is similarly callous to the comings and goings of the fame, fortune, the wealth or no wealth. These kinds of things do not affect one whose heart and mind are fully absorbed in the Lord's devotional service, and his full purpose in life is simply to increase devotional service. Even, as we heard earlier, even catastrophes in the association of pure devotees of the Lord become good fortune. It's like, oh yeah, great. This is wonderful. So it's a different world that the devotees live in by the blessings of pure devotees. Lord Rishabhadeva describes the characteristics of great devotees. Mahantaste samachita prashanta vimanyavak suridak sadavoye. The Mahatmas are equipoised. They see no difference between one living entity and another. They are very peaceful, fully engaged in devotional service, and devoid of anger, and they work for the benefit of all. They do not behave in any abominable way. Yeva mahishe kritasauridarta janeshu deham baravartikeshu griheshu jayat majarati matsu napriti yukta yavadartas chaloke. Those who are interested in reviving Krishna consciousness and increasing their love of Godhead do not like to do anything that is not related to Krishna. They are not interested in mingling with people who are busy maintaining their bodies, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Please look up mingling again. They are not attached to their homes, although they may be householders, nor are they attached to wives, children, friends, or wealth. At the same time, they are not indifferent to the execution of their duties. Such people are interested in collecting only enough money to keep the body and soul together. Yes. What does it mean to mingle?
Mingle is a verb which means to mix or cause to mix together. The sound of voices mingled with the scraping of chairs, an expression that mingled compassion and bewilderment. And the second definition is move freely around a place or at a social function, associating with others. Over aperitifs, there was a chance to mingle with friends, old and new. And the origin is late Middle English. It's a frequentative of obsolete meng, which meant mix or blend. It's also related to the word among. And it's perhaps influenced by the Middle Dutch menjelen. or mingling.
Ming, to mix. Don't mingle with materialistic people. Because Mahatmas are free from the material agitations of love and hate, they maintain an equal disposition toward friends, enemies, and neutral parties. In other words, the great souls are peaceful. This peacefulness is due to their being free from anger. This freedom is due to their being causeless benefactors of everyone. And this benefaction is due to their being firmly committed to saintly behavior. Firmly committed to saintly behavior. It's the only asset. We heard that earlier. We're going from that premise and expanding upon it by reading this commentary by Sanatan Goswami. But the only asset of the devotee is good behavior. And that requires a firm commitment to saintly behavior, because there are ways in which the mind may produce a jumble of ideas for material sense gratification. It may present before one objections to particular devotees and so forth. So one has to be vigilant by constantly hearing from Krishna himself. For instance, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Apichet sudracharo bhajate mam mananyabhag sadhareva samantavya samyag vyavasitohisaha. And that is that even if you come across a Vaishnava devotee of the Lord who has engaged in abominable behavior, you must still consider this person who is continuing in the process of devotional service, despite the fact that he has transgressed at some point, a sadhu, a saint. And he emphatically states this point, because he says in the next verse, Shri Pram Bhavati Dharmatma Shashvashchantim Nagachati Kaunteya Pratijanihi Nami Bhakti Pranashati. That by continuation of the process of devotional service, one will become my devotee and will become filled with all good qualities. Declare it boldly, he tells Arjuna, that this is a fact. So one has to cultivate this. It's a cultivation throughout one's life to follow this behavior, even if one is not fully feeling the love for the devotees. If one observes Krishna's penchant for the devotees and the rulings of Shastra, and carefully adheres to etiquette in dealing with devotees, then this constitutes a cultivation of saintly behavior. Especially this, avoiding offenses to devotees. This is the most important aspect of cultivation of saintly behavior, and that is avoiding offenses to the Vaishnavas. There are others, but this is the most important of all. Their aim in life is to become trustworthy friends of the personality of Godhead, concentrating exclusively on that goal. They take no pleasure in being with persons who, instead of pursuing the higher interests of spiritual life, are interested only in maintaining their bodies. The Mahatmas rather expend as little energy as possible working to sustain their material bodies. Lord Krishna gives his own appraisal of the Mahatma Vaishnavas to Uddhava in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Those who are without any desire for personal gratification, whose minds are always attached to me, who are peaceful, free from false ego, and merciful to all living entities, and whose consciousness is never affected by opportunities for sense gratification, such persons enjoy in me a happiness that cannot be known or achieved by those lacking such detachment from the material world. Devotees whose hearts are fully dedicated to the Supreme Person are the only real Mahatmas. There are certain external symptoms by which such souls can be known. They avoid acquisitiveness. They are beyond attraction and repulsion. They are affectionately concerned for all living beings, and they are pure in heart, untouched by the spirit of selfish enjoyment. Their internal characteristic is the happiness they taste from a relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, a happiness no one but the pure Vaishnavas can know. The Lord's own happiness is also nothing like the Brahmananda of self-satisfied impersonalists. Because Krishna is the servant of his own servants, he is always eager to share with his devotees the ecstatic taste of bhakti rasa. Bhagavatam, 9th canto, I am completely under the control of my devotees. Indeed, I am not at all independent. Because my devotees are completely devoid of material desires, I sit only within the cores of their hearts. What to speak of my devotees? Even the devotees of my devotee are very dear to me. A devotee with strong faith engages sincerely in worshiping the Lord. And when, by that worship, he develops transcendental attraction, he becomes a true Mahatma. Thus, faith that leads to attachment is the principal inner symptom of an advanced Vaishnava. Thus, faith that leads to attachment is the principal inner symptom of an advanced Vaishnava. Thus, faith that leads to attachment is the principal inner symptom of an advanced Vaishnava. Sri Havas, one of the 9 Yogendras, has described this most essential characteristic of pure devotees. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is so kind to the conditioned souls that if they call upon Him by speaking His holy name, even unintentionally or unwillingly, the Lord is inclined to destroy innumerable sinful reactions in their hearts. Therefore, when a devotee who has taken shelter of the Lord's lotus feet chants the holy name of Krishna with genuine love, the Lord can never give up the heart of such a devotee. One who has thus bound the Supreme Lord within his heart with ropes of love is to be known as Bhagavata Pradhana, the most exalted devotee of the Lord. That's Bhagavatam 11.255. What is it? Bhagavatam 11.255. Can you say it? 11.255. And if somebody wakes you up tonight at 1 o'clock in the morning, unless you're already up by that time, and asks you, what is Bhagavatam 11.255 about? What will you say? Without looking at the screen. It's about the mercy of Vaishnavas. Somebody take a stand and grab the microphone. And please, quick.
Lord Krishna never leaves the heart of that devotee who, out of genuine love, chants His holy names.
Yeah, that's profound, isn't it? Any other thing? Wake you up at 1 o'clock in the morning, what's 11.255 about? And you'll say? I'll read it again. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is so kind to the conditioned souls that if they call upon Him by speaking His holy name, even unintentionally or unwillingly, the Lord is inclined to destroy innumerable sinful reactions in their hearts. Therefore, when a devotee who has taken shelter of the Lord's lotus feet chants the holy name of Krishna with genuine love, the Lord can never give up the heart of such a devotee. One who has thus bound the Supreme Lord within his heart with the ropes of love is to be known as Bhagavat Pradhana, the most exalted devotee of the Lord. Okay, you just got woken up 1 o'clock in the morning. I say, what's 1.255? And you say?
Like, even if one chants the holy name unintentionally and unwillingly, the Lord removes innumerable sinful reactions from the core of their heart.
Yeah, it says He's inclined to do that. He's so appreciative of that. Did you see any of that last night? Anybody unwillingly or unconsciously chant? I saw some people, they come, yes, you saw? Tell us. For those who are in our internet audience, last night we had a Harinam Sankirtan mini festival. We have regularly in Palo Alto. We set up some booths and a small stage where we chant the holy names. And many, many people come and listen, and some of them just walking by. Tell us.
So there was, Hare Krishna Rupaji, so there was one kid who was dancing with us, and for last 2 hours he was dancing. And he was looking at us that what we are speaking while we were dancing, chanting, and he was trying to chant with us, along with us. Although he had no clue what he was like, but still he was so much jubilant and with a lot of blissful he was dancing.
He thought it was a good idea, right? Like, this is a good idea. Yes, He can comment on this because he was interviewing people last night.
Hare Krishna. That kid's name was Guillermo, and his mother's name is Linda. And Linda actually took her to her son to Mount Madonna Hanuman Temple earlier, and that's where they learned the art of kirtan. And that's how she was kind of motivated to bring her son for this kirtan. And then she said that I will bring her again to this temple programs. And she and the kid developed some friendship with the other kids of temple as well. So later on, I found his mother Linda was also participating in kirtan when dancing with our Mataji is there.
Achha. And I saw some people walking by, especially when there was a strong beat coming from the kirtan party. And although they were walking by with their family and had fully intended to go somewhere else and to not participate in the Harinam party, even slightly pretentiously, they put a little spring in their step just to show that, you know, like... And that's accepted. Krishna accepts that kind of activity. Yes? 1, 2.
Hare Krishna Guruji, actually after yesterday's Sankirtan, I wanted to just share the realization when I was thinking about that yesterday. It was very profound because yesterday we were all dancing, and then when we were taking a circle around the kirtan, where kirtan was going on, there were two ladies who were talking to each other. They were near the henna side, and they were saying, looking at all of us, saying that, wow, these guys are so peaceful, like, why is it like that? And they were just smiling, looking at us. And I was thinking that time that that's what Srila Prabhupada has, you know, given to us, actually.
Thank you.
Even our brothers who were there, Christian missionaries, anyone who is coming, they are saying, we didn't intend to come on the same time with these Hare Krishnas, but we happened to be here. So they were saying unconsciously. They were saying like 3-4 times it happened.
The Christians?
Yeah.
The ones who were next to you?
Yeah.
And they kept saying?
They were saying, we didn't have...
They were explaining to
yeah,
people.
Yeah, they were explaining to other people.
It's like
people.
We're not with them, we didn't mean to be here
yeah,
at the same
Yeah, we didn't
time.
Mean to be there with the Hare Krishnas, but we happened to be at the same time.
Little do they know. The most elevated Vaishnavas worship Lord Hari in his original form of Krishna, Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. The holy names of Krishna, being non-different from him, are so potent that even when uttered unintentionally, they destroy heaps of sins. Krishna, in his inconceivably wonderful Vrindavan pastimes, nullifies the threat of many demons, such as Agasura, by killing them and awarding them liberation. In Vrindavan, Krishna's loving devotees have bound him with their hearts so that he could never escape. The statement above describes these most intimate devotees by using the word Bhagavat Pradana, a word grammatically singular in form, because they are relatively few in number. Quote, during Kali Yuga, human beings with such saintly qualities are rarely found in this earth, in this world. Certainly, we never see many lions together in one place. As the goddess Earth says in Hari Bhakti Sudodaya, Sudurlabha Bhagavan Hi Loke, pure devotees are very rare in this world. And in the words of Maharaj Nimi, Durlabo Manusho Deho Dehinam Shana Bangurai Bangura, Tatrapi Durlabam Manye Vaikuntha Priyadarshanam. For the conditioned souls, the human body is most difficult to achieve, and it can be lost at any moment. But I think that even those who have achieved human life can rarely gain the association of pure devotees who are dear to the Lord of Vaikuntha. Pure Vaishnavas are rarely found in the material world because devotion for Sri Krishna arises only in a person who has been relieved of all traces of sinful reactions and has properly carried out all pious duties together. Yesham tundakatam papam jananam bunyakarmanam te tundva mohanir mukta bhajante mam dridavrataha Persons who acted piously in previous lives and in this life, whose sinful actions are completely eradicated and freed from the dualities of delusion, are freed, and they engage themselves in my service with determination. To attain devotional service unto Lord Krishna, one must perform charity, follow strict vows, perform austerities and fire sacrifices, chant japa, study Vedic texts, observe regulative principles, and follow many other auspicious practices. Human beings whose sins have been completely eradicated by thousands of lifetimes cultivating austerities, knowledge, and meditative trance can develop devotion for Krishna. This is also from the Yoga Vishishta Ramayana. From where? From these statements, we can infer that a person with no devotion for the Supreme Lord must be sinful, nor can the knowledge gained by seekers of impersonal liberation be called bhakti, because even texts like the Yoga Vashishta, which are tinged with impersonalism, indicate that tapas, jnana, and samadhi are means toward the end of Bhagavad Bhakti. As Sridhar Swami writes at the end of his commentary on the Bhagavad Gita, Janasya bhaktyanuvratvantara vyaparavtvam eva. Jnana is but a secondary activity subordinate to bhakti. And in the Bhagavad Gita itself, 10.10, 18.54-55, Krishna clearly describes knowledge, buddhi yoga, as but a means to achieve the ultimate goal, pure devotion to him. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam Tadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayanti te. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Brahmabhuta prasanatma na shochati na kangshati samaksarveshu bhuteshu madbhaktim labhate param. One who is transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments or desires to have anything. He is equally disposed toward every living entity. In that state, he attains pure devotional service unto me. Bhaktyamam abhijanati yavan yashchasmi tatvataha tatumam tatvato gyatva vishite tadanantaram. One can understand me as I am, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of me by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. Thus Krishna always makes a distinction between jnana and bhakti, and so do his faithful devotees. This means, of course, that the impersonal worshippers of the Absolute are not as spiritually advanced as the devotees of the Supreme Person. In the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, 422-69, Sanat Kumara tells Maharaj Prithu, Yat pada pankacha palasha vilasa bhaktya karmashrayam gratitam udgratayanti santa tadvanda rikta matayo yatayo pirudha shrotoganas tamaranam bhajavasudevam. The devotees who are always engaged in the service of the toes of the lotus feet of the Lord can very easily overcome hard-knotted desires for fruitive activities. Because this is very difficult, the non-devotees, the jnanis and yogis, although trying to stop the waves of sense gratification, cannot do so. Therefore, you are advised to engage in the devotional service of Krishna, the son of Vasudeva. The unlimited ways the Supreme Lord employs his energies are all of his vilas, expansions for play. But pure Vaishnavas are especially attracted to serving him by hearing and chanting about his vilas in Sri Vrindavan and his other spiritual abodes. Thus Lord Kapiladev, after instructing his mother at length about several varieties of progressive discipline, advised her that, of all sadhanas, recitation of the pastimes of the Lord of Vaikuntha is the most important. What is the most important of all sadhanas, would you say? In your opinion? Huh? Correct. Devotional service itself is also vilas, an expression of pure joy. By taking part in the bhakti vilas of honoring the Supreme Lord's Mahaprasad and dancing, singing, and performing other services for his pleasure, saintly devotees untie the knots of material bondage. the materialistic attitudes born from false ego within their hearts. Impersonalist sannyasis may subdue the senses, but they are unable to untie the knots of karma binding their hearts. Who made that prasadam last night? The little burfi? Sandeep made that, huh? I heard it was pretty popular. Is that true? And it was not vegan or sugar-free, was it? It's still very popular. And then Hansapriya made prasadam and was distributed at the end. Khitri? Wow. Palo Alto gets introduced to Khitri. Just see, even Stanford students can take Khitri. That's amazing. Manjula Kanta made the drink, huh? Huh? Almond milk. Wow. I'm sorry I missed that. See, what we did last night was a confluence of all of these practices. There's hearing, there's chanting, association with devotees, distribution of prasadam. It's all auspicious. And it's the only thing that's auspicious on that avenue or anywhere else within Palo Alto or anywhere else within San Mateo, Santa Clara, San Francisco counties. I don't know if San Francisco is a county, but anywhere within California, only this process of pure devotional service is auspicious. Everything else has mixed or detrimental results. But this pure devotional process presented to the public by the advice of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who asked his associates to go outside and do this now, to chant. And it brings good fortune to the whole world. And even if you stay in one place and you simply do this again and again, the effects will be pervasive throughout the whole world. It's not that you have to go to every town and village, which is not a bad idea also. But if you stay in one place and diligently transform that one particular area that you're given it as your Prabhudatta Desh, your area to work on, then you'll have a profound effect on the whole world. In fact, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling in South India, he gave this advice again and again, because there are a few samples of what he taught when he went to various people's homes. And Srila Prabhupada and the author Chaitanya Charitamrita mentions that these are to show what he did generally everywhere he went in thousands, tens of thousands of cases. He walked barefoot throughout South India. There were no proper roads, or there were no trolleys or cars, anything like that. He just walked from one place to another, and he would meet people. And then he would go to their homes. He would teach them this process of Sankirtan. And he advised the Kurma Brahma. Kurma Brahman, who was a prominent leader of his community, who wanted to go with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu told him, you stay here and simply transform this village into a place where everyone is engaged in pure devotional service. And he said, if you go on in this spirit, you won't be affected at all by your connection to the material world. Whether he was a vanaprastha, a grahastha. And he said, you don't have to take sannyas. If you stay here and you perform this sankirtan and you introduce this to as many people as possible, you won't be touched. You won't be by the material energy, and you won't be entangled by it. And he said, everywhere you go, everyone you meet, simply teach them this process of sankirtan. Teach them about Lord Krishna's teachings in the Bhagavad Gita, and this is the perfection of life. This is his order. We're reading a long section in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita together here this morning, and it's a good idea just to sit and listen to these profound literatures offered to us by the Parampara. Don't you think?
Yes.
I thought that's what you thought. I was speaking about Mahaprasad. Okay, so then it goes on. Impersonalist sannyasis may subdue the senses, but they are unable to untie the knots of karma binding their hearts. Or even if able to begin to unravel those knots, they cannot undo them completely. The impulses of the senses are compared to the current of a mighty river like the Ganga, which can never be stopped. Without the special protection of the Supreme Lord's internal energy in pure devotional service, no one can stop the incessant flow of sensory agitation. Non-devotee sannyasis fall from their elevated status. Therefore, whereas fully surrendered, devotees never fall. While Krishna was in the womb of Devaki, the demigods prayed, Tata nate madhava tavaka kuchid rashyanti marga twai bhada sauridaha. O Madhava, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord of the Goddess of Fortune, if devotees completely in love with you sometimes fall from the path of devotion, they do not fall like non-devotees. Though this statement concedes that pure devotees may in theory fall down, saintly authorities never accept that possibility. Paramahamsa Vaishnavas are solidly established in intimate friendship with the Supreme Lord. Therefore, they never fall into illusion under any circumstances. Impersonalists conceive of the Supreme Self as formless. That's an important point. That those who may be at the beginning section of the path of pure devotional service may appear sometimes to fall victim to the material energy, but Narada makes this point also in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that they don't fall down like an ordinary people. In fact, he says that they are protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Prabhupada in his purport says that when a son of a poor man becomes estranged from the family, it's different from somebody who's an orphan, who's lost without any connection at all in the world. Son is of a rich man, it's always being looked out, a benevolent, kind, loving, rich man is always looking out for the welfare of his son, even as the son becomes estranged. And throughout the Bhagavatam, we find these kinds of statements. For instance, in the 11th canto, Supada mulamba jata priyasya taktanya bhavasya hari priyeshaha vikarma yachchot patitam katanchid dhunoti sarvam shriti sannivishtaha, means that because devotee is dear to the Lord is dear to him. Supada mulam bhajata priyasya, and he's engaged in devotional service, bhajataha. Because he's engaged in devotional service, he's priya, he's dear. Chaktanya bhavasa hari priyeshaha, his idea is to renounce the material world, to be engaged in the Lord's devotional service. However, vikarma yachchot patitan katanchit, if somehow or other that person falls victim to vikarma, tunoti sarvam hriti sannivishtaha, because the Lord has entered within his heart, as we heard earlier, right? He has no need to perform any kind of prayaschitta. He simply must go on with the process of devotional service, and he'll be fully rectified of his situation, because Krishna knows his intention to advance in devotional service. So the fall down is not the same as somebody who is engaged in karma, jnana, and so forth, who falls down from the process, because those are paths that depend on the strength of the individual performer, not on the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You want to hear a little more?
Yes.
Though the statement concedes that pure devotees may in theory fall down, saintly authorities never accept that possibility. Paramahamsa Vaishnavas are solidly established in intimate friendship with the Supreme Lord. Therefore, they never fall into illusion under any circumstances. Impersonalists conceive of the Supreme Lord as formless or as void. To reciprocate with them in kind, the Supreme Lord presents himself to suit their taste. As the personified Vedas describe in their prayers, Viyata iva padasya tava shunyatulam dadhataha. Just as the ethereal sky has no connection with perceptible qualities, so also you resemble a void. The impersonal conception of the Supreme is deficient, however, because it ignores the essence of self-realization, pure devotion for the Supreme Lord's lotus feet. Thus, only the faithful Vaishnavas are true saints, sat, and everyone else is asat. Following the example of such saints, one who desires to succeed should take shelter of the son of Vasudeva and worship him. Persons who spurn the protection of the personality of Godhead are not Vaishnavas. Without shelter, they are in effect spiritual orphans. But the Vaishnavas under the Lord's protection, free from fear, free to use all of the activities of their senses in the Lord's service, easily gain liberation from the bondage of material existence. And beyond that, at every moment, they enjoy an abundance of fresher and fresher ecstasy that those who are merely liberated can never know. Impersonalist sannyasis can obtain deliverance from the vast ocean of samsara only after long, severe endeavor. But the Supreme Lord's devotees cross that ocean happily, effortlessly. As the presiding demigods of the causal elements prayed to Lord Vishnu at the beginning of creation, O Lord, your lotus feet are like an umbrella for the surrendered souls, protecting them from all miseries, all the miseries of material existence. All the sages under that shelter easily throw off all material miseries. We therefore offer our respectful obeisances unto your lotus feet. Who's taking texts from the internet? Okay, someone can text in from the internet and let us know if... What? There's an issue with Mayapur.tv. We're not on the internet? We're on YouTube and Facebook. Anybody on YouTube and Facebook who's listening to this class, please text in to let us know if it's coming through and also if what you think of this long reading today. Thank you for considering my request. On the internet. It's there. It's there on the internet. Yeah. Devotees who take full shelter of the Lord's lotus feet are much more elevated than ordinary sages or sannyasis. Such devotees abandon reliance on anything else and depend solely on the Lord. In contrast, impersonalist sannyasis, by leaving their families and changing their dress, only seem to renounce materialism. In reality, however, when they subscribe to the Advaita idea of pure consciousness, they imagine themselves to be the Supreme Lord Narayan. Such a state of mind forces them to presume that everything they see or hear about other than themselves is an illusory product of their own Maya. These adherents of the Advaita Vedanta philosophy call themselves yatis or sannyasis, but they must be distinguished from the Vaishnavas, who in the Bhagavatam designates as real saints. In the Advaita Vadi Yatis, in fact, the Advaita Vadi Yatis are not free from the reactions of their past and present sins, nor are their hearts cleansed of the taste for sense gratification. Though ignorant of the truth, they consider themselves learned, and their personal character is just like that of the demoniac enemies of Vishnu and his devotees. As the demigods prayed to Krishna while he is within the womb together, Yene ravindaksha vamuktamaninas toyastabhava davashudha buddhaya aruya krishena parampadam tata patantyado nadrita yushmarangaya. O lotus-eyed Lord, although non-devotees who accept severe austerities and penances to achieve the highest position may think themselves liberated, their intelligence is impure. They fall down from their position of imagined superiority because they have no regard for your lotus feet. The personified Vedas similarly prayed, members of the renounced order who fail to uproot the last traces of material desire in their hearts remain impure, and thus you do not allow them to understand you. Although you are present within their hearts, for them you are like a jewel worn around the neck of a man who has totally forgotten that the jewel is there. O Lord, those who practice yoga only for the sense gratification, must suffer punishment both in this life and in the next, from death, who will not release them, and from you, whose kingdom they cannot reach. According to the Yoga Vashishta Ramayana, according to what? According to the Yoga Vashishta Ramayana, when an ignorant, half-conscious person declares everything is Brahman, the result is that he becomes entangled in a network of most hellish existence. In the Brahma Vaivarta Purana, where? It is also stated, a person absorbed in enjoyment of sense objects who says, I am Brahman, will burn in hell for 10 million days of Brahma. 10 billion days of Brahma. And in another Purana, we read, Samsara Sukha Samyuktam Brahmaham Iti Vadinam Karma Brahma Priprashtam Tam Tyajed Antyajam Yata. If a person absorbed in the pleasures of material life says, I am Brahman, he is fallen both from Vedic duties and from transcendental engagements. He should be rejected like an outcast. Before meeting Swarup, the Brahmana from Mathura was ignorant of the glories of the Supreme Lord's devotional service. But by the company of Swarup, his saintly spiritual master, he at once became as successful as those who realize their spiritual identities after long, disciplined efforts. Such is the power of association with pure Vaishnavas. Earlier in this book, all kinds of spiritual practices were explained, but this special glory of Vaishnava association was not. Vaishnava association is the most sublime secret. It is the very best means of spiritual attainment, and it is, in fact, an essential aspect of the ultimate goal. I rest my case. I wanted to read the whole thing because that's specifically written by Sanatan Goswami as a supplement to the whole book, explaining in the round the concept of sadhu sangha. So now we'll take some reflections. Yes.
Usually they conduct some seminars on how to become a billionaire by somebody who had already become a billionaire, like that, and people go to those seminars. I really felt like today you opened the secret of how to become a billionaire in Krishna consciousness, even beyond the real wealth of Krishna consciousness, and how important it is to serve pure devotees, because Krishna is serving is easy because he's there and you do, and he will not correct immediately. But serving a pure devotee is like immediate feedback on how you're doing, and that's really rare to have such an association. And the main point that I liked is how by association of pure devotees we can overcome the fear of what will happen in the future, and the fear of being forgetful and forgetfulness of the blissful service. And one more thing I forgot, the first one. But those anxieties are always there because we get Krishna consciousness after a long time, and there is always anxiety that we should not lose it. So all these secrets, Gopi Parnadana Prabhu, like, I could understand how his heart might have been, that he is explaining all these things from references, and it's a summary, like a PhD thesis, like he's giving in this
actually,
one purpose.
Actually, it's Sanatan Goswami. Gopi Parnadana Prabhu translated his commentaries. So the commentary is Sanatan Goswami's commentary, and it had never been done before. Gopi Parnadana Prabhu was the first one to do that. Others had translated the text of the Brihat Bhagavatamrita. But as the good professor who wrote the preface to this book, who was the preeminent scholar of Gaudiya Vaishnavism in the world, who recently passed away, writes in this preface that you can read, or the foreword to this book, that the Sanskrit in which Sanatana Goswami wrote was terse and very difficult to translate into prose. But he said Gopi Parnadana Prabhu was uniquely qualified to do this because of his preparation throughout his life, his association with Prabhupada and his purports, and his overall knowledge of the Gaudiya Siddhanta. And in his opinion, he had, in the opinion of the professor, he had perfectly rendered the purports into English that can be understood by all. So yes, it's Gopi's genius, but it's Sanatana Goswami's statements and his citations as well throughout the book. Also, regarding becoming spiritual billionaires, when we went to the desert near Palm Springs for a japa retreat, it was about 5 years ago. Don't tell me it was 10, I'll freak out. Get out of here. Okay, I'm going to freak out. Watch me freak out. Okay, 10 years ago, we went to that japa retreat. That's amazing. And I took a walk. There wasn't a lot of places to walk there. It was off in the desert, kind of. But I walked a ways away from the main building, and there was a garbage heap. And on top of the garbage heap, and I have a picture of this somewhere, there was a signboard that had been used for a seminar, upcoming seminar, on how to become wealthy. And it was lying on the garbage heap, and some of the letters were missing, and it was dilapidated, and just lying there. And I thought, this was a perfect image to indicate what happens to one's endeavors to become wealthy in the material world. But your point is well taken, that understanding what real wealth is, everyone's self-interested. However, if you misplace what your real self is, and then you endeavor with all sincerity to attain wealth, you'll be misled and sorely disappointed at the end of life. However, if you understand that the real goal of life is attained by serving devotees, and you endeavor for that, even a little bit, you attain the highest kind of wealth. The Chaitanya Charitamrita describes how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is acting as a devotee, is a spiritual capitalist. He comes to town, he's like the venture capitalist. Comes to town, is like, okay, what do you need? You want to get started? We'll get you started. There's a lot of venture capitalists here in the Silicon Valley. As people are always coming up for ideas about new apps and various things, I have no idea. But they come up with ideas to start a new company and so forth. So many of them go to venture capitalists to get their start. So similarly, those who have a little spark of interest in devotional service can go to devotees who already have a connection with other Vaishnavas, and they can request a little venture capital to get started in their process of devotional service. Can you give me a little loan? Help me out here? And yes, they will. They have the facility to do that, to help us get started. Okay, who else? 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Go.
So there was a little text that I noted, Maharaj. Persons who hear from a spiritual master with great labor and for a long time must hear from his mouth about the character and activities of pure devotees who always think within their hearts of the lotus feet of Mukunda, the personality of Godhead, he who awards them liberation. So thank you so much, Maharaj, for reading, making this happen for us. And there are a few texts on the internet.
Oh, let's hear a couple texts. We like to know what our fellow devotees are doing and thinking on the other side of the internet. Isn't it fascinating that we're all sitting together somehow hearing this? Yeah. Let's acknowledge all the devotees who join us online. Thank you. We feel your presence and we're really happy you're there. Hare Krishna.
So Sri Kumar Prabhu is saying thank you, Vaishishka Prabhuji, for this amazing recitation. And Vaikun Naik Prabhu says that points that really touched me are, number one, one pure devotee is equal to all the demigods. Number two, only foolish people aspire for heavenly planets. Personalities like Jad Bharat rarely visit heavenly planets. Earth is the best place to execute devotional service. And there's one more. And this is Krishna Pran Devidasi Mataji.
Oh, good.
Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Sri Sri Radha Madan Mohan. Jaya Srila Vaisheshika Prabhu. Thank you for bringing the Brihad Bhagavata Mata into this class. I'm watching through Facebook and YouTube.
Thank you, Krishna Prana. I answered your question that you wrote. I just haven't sent you the answer yet. Vaikuntha Nayaka, brilliant reflections as usual. And good to hear from that saint among devotees, Krishna Kumar, Sri Kumar Prabhu, who's always working hard to spread the message of Lord Chaitanya. Thanks for texting in. Okay, who's next?
Thank you so much, Maharaj, for the wonderful Bhagavatam verse that you started. I remember that, I think 2 years ago, Mukundatta Prabhu came to ISV, and then one person asked him that question, like he served his parents for a long period of time. Then he quoted this verse in that, the Vriddhashrayam. The last thing is quoted, that how, you know, what motivated him for doing that service, because that's instruction. And Prabhupada says that, yeah, it means both, like those who are experienced and those who are in the advanced in age.
Mukunda Datta Prabhu quoted this verse?
Yeah, he quoted this verse.
Wow, I must be onto something if I'm following in his footsteps.
And when you are telling that celebration happens, then when one leaves the karma and jnana, and then, so I was remembering once you were beside, in one of the celebration of Gaur Purnima, you were reading the section of Saurabham Bhattacharya, and I think that was my best section in the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita, when he finally surrendered to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu after hearing whole, it is like really the joy you feel in your heart by just hearing that whole.
Actually, when one finds one's own sincerity while chanting or while serving or while conjuring one's strength to engage in Krishna service, that is a moment for a celebration in which one sees for oneself one's own sincerity right in front of one's own nose, that yes, it's there. One may wonder, am I actually sincere? Am I actually qualified to be on this path to devotional service? Oftentimes we hear from devotees, even or it may be especially advanced devotees, that I'm not qualified, I'll never be qualified, and so forth, because this is the nature of devotional service, that one feels more and more unqualified as one becomes qualified. However, it's self-effulgent when one sees one's own sincerity and recognizes that, yes, I actually do want pure devotional service. And finding those findings within one's own practice of one's own sincerity are extremely important for pure chanting of the Lord, recognizing that this is actually what I want, and holding on to that desire, putting it up on the altar of one's heart, pinning it up on the mirror of one's heart, just like you do when you're doing some self-help program. I like myself, I like myself, I like myself. Put it on the mirror, I like myself. This recognition of one's sincerity and saying, yes, I am sincere, I actually do want pure devotional service, and putting that in the fore of one's life is extremely important in the advancement of devotional service. In fact, nothing is as important as that. Thank you very much.
And the nice connection that you made about from the Bhagavatam verse to this Brihad Bhagavatamrita verse was really amazing. Thank you.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Recollecting some thoughts from last night's Harinam Sankirtan. There were a couple of white-bodied gentlemen standing like in the crowd, and they were watching the kirtan, dancing, all of us. And then they walked away with a very sarcastic comment. Hey, this is what happens as a consequence of giving H-1B visa. So, the intent from the gentleman could be that people come here on H-1B or work visa, and we conduct Harinam Sankirtan, and whatever he meant, okay, that's fine. But yeah, so that was actually, I went to bed with that thought and thinking about his comment, and then I got up in the morning, came to this class and this lecture, and then realized, yes, that gentleman was right. We actually are all on temporary work visa. And this is this life where all of us come, regardless of our boundaries of countries and all, we all come in this world on temporary work visa, and the best objective we can achieve on this small duration is to get association of Vaishnavas, association of spiritual master, and get something back after we are done with this visa. Because it was true, we are all on visa.
Nice. H stands for Hari. Is it Prabhupada used to hear people say sarcastic things or try to obstruct the Sankirtan movement, and he would fight back. In one letter, I included this in my book, when we were being sued in New York State, Prabhupada wrote, "It's too late. The brainwashed books are already out." He said, "The fire has started. They can bring the fire brigade, big, big fire brigade, but still the fire will act because the books are going out, the holy name has been released." And my godbrother, Geshe Bharti Maharaj, was telling me, he's in Govardhan now, but he was in Mayapur a couple days ago. I was talking to him by Skype, and he was telling me how, although within any organization, in fact, we were at Google the other day, the perfect organization in the world. There's no problems there. Did you know that? No, that's not true. Some of the employees were telling us, no, there's politics, there's problems. And I said, not at Google. And they said, no, at Google too. And we know this, that wherever there's social intercourse, there's going to be problems between living entities. Every organization has them. Therefore, Madhavananda Prabhu so eloquently went to the lengths of talking about how God always supports organized religion despite its faults. And Kalakanta Prabhu followed up, not that he knew about that statement of Madhavananda, but he also gave a nice sequel to that in his class in Mayapur, in which he talked about three levels of devotional service. One is practiced in relationship to the institution, one is interpersonal, and one is one's very personal practice of devotional service. It's an important class to hear. If you can get a recording, everyone should listen to it. But there's a way in which the institution itself becomes complex, complicated, and especially if you're privy to everything that's going on, it becomes disturbing to the mind to know how many problems there might be in any given organization. It's best to stay in the mail room if you can and just do your duty and not rise to the top. Right, Damodar? Yeah. Not that he's in the mail room, he rose to the top of his company. So there's what Geshe Bharti Maharaj said when his head was a little bit spinning from hearing all the various, you know, discussions, controversies, and he came out and he saw the TOVP rising, Prabhupada Samadhi, happy devotees from every part of the world walking around the campus, oblivious and blissfully unaware of all the wranglings that might go on in other levels. And he said, despite whatever happens, the Krishna consciousness movement is going on in a very healthy way all over the world. So one has to have a dose of that as one pursues a career in devotional service, which necessitates being connected to an organized religion in one aspect of one's devotional practice. It's necessary for ourselves and the masses to have association and to carry on in that way. Yes, finally back to you.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. What I really loved is when it is written that worshipping Vaishnava is equal to worshipping all the demigods combined. It's just that the impact is so high with that statement that it cannot underestimate association of any Vaishnava and cannot take it for granted. And so that's why the whole point of Vaishnava Prad, I mean, not taking it very, very seriously, it to me, it makes a big, big impact.
That's the spirit. That's the root of good behavior. And good behavior in a Vaishnava is the only asset. It's the main ornament of the devotee. You have more to say,
yeah,
please.
Yeah, I just want to again congratulate Shyama Mangali Mataji for yesterday's Harinam. It was... Just one quick point. I had a very good association yesterday with some people, and while trying to book distribute, there was a very spiritual-looking Iranian lady, very old. She was just enjoying the dancing of the Hare Krishnas. And I just approached her and told her that this is the mantra that we are chanting. And then she chanted with me. And then she asked me, are you all happy? Because I explained her a little bit about soul and how we are not the body and the soul. She was very impressed. And she was saying, are you all happy? I said, yeah, we are very happy. So then she asked me, are you the hippies? You all look like the hippies. I said, yeah, we are the hippies. And then the discussion went very good, and she was very, very interested in what's going on. But her husband suddenly took the direction, talking about how can you prove that the soul exists, and he asked a lot of questions. I tried to answer, but then the wife kept telling me that I don't have that doubt, it's just my husband. I am... So I connected the husband with Sukeshwari Mataji so they can have a tangent discussion. And I continued with the wife, and she was very impressed, and she was very happy that we are doing it. She even asked for a couple of other books other than what I offered them. So the whole point of, you know, just the name is the God himself was so powerful, and I came to realize that yesterday in that occasion.
Very good. I read recently in a letter, Prabhupada wrote that by preaching, one receives resistance. And by that resistance, one grows in Krishna consciousness. So it's extremely important to be out and meeting people, not just seeing how receptive many people are, but also the resistance that one meets develops one's ability to support one's own position and so forth, and to develop a perspective in which one can accommodate various people's opinions and reactions to the process of devotional service. Well done. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Right behind you, Sukeshwari.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Yesterday's thing, the husband was very difficult. We spent 15-20 minutes, and he kept convincing me that you're born and you die and you're done with it and everything. So then I was trying to think that, I don't know, I tried all possible ways, but at the end of it, I thought, oh Krishna, okay, I don't know, Krishna, what should I be doing? And then I remembered the shloka where if they are, you know, unripe, as you always say, you should probably just let it go. I said, how about you do one thing? How about you have this vegetarian thing? I gave him the prasad. There was no other way. But I told Mataji that, good, you call me, because at least I kept her busy with you, so she could get as much as she can get. And unfortunately, maybe through her, he will get it. You know, it was like such a short time.
And sometimes it goes the other way, that person ends up being even more adamant about devotional service. One point is that Kapila Dev says that doubting is a function of the intelligence. And it's important. In the section of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Kapila Dev and then Prabhupada elaborates, to doubt the soul, God, the process of devotional service, and then have one's doubts systematically removed, because then one will be solidly situated. Therefore, Siddhanta Bole Achita Nakara Alash, Iha Krishna Lage Sudrid Manosh. That one should not be lazy in discussing these things, thoroughly threadbare, as Prabhupada used to say, because by doing that, one comes to a clear understanding of the Siddhanta, and then one has firm faith. Go ahead.
And I was also thinking about the comment that you just made, Prabhu. I've been thinking about a couple of things yesterday at work. The level, I mean, you can keep going up the ladder, so it's not very difficult after 15 years of experience. Maybe, you know, I just have to do a little bit, couple of things that I can become the director or a superintendent of the education department. Well, I was sitting down thinking so much of politics out there. And I was thinking that if I continue to read Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita and the short life, I'll go back to Godhead. Is it really necessary for me? I might get, you know, just thinking out of the box, I might get a little bit more sense here and there. But thank you for answering. Even, you know, I was contemplating about it because my higher ups were talking to it. Then I realized that this is of no use, you know, just going up, it's better to be in the mail room and make sure that everything is getting done and be out. rather than just keep going up in the material ladder.
I didn't mean it literally. I mean, just to be clear, you know, not that, I have anything against one's doing one's job proficiently and so forth. Just, I was just saying that in climbing the material ladder, there are great disappointments because things are always messed up. Of course, I was saying that in relationship to spiritual organizations also. If you get involved in politics and also, and sometimes necessarily so because you're in management, there are things that need to be taken care of. It can be an exalted, it is an exalted service. At the same time, it's a real pain.
That's the concern, pain. Prabhu. I was just thinking that even at work, if suppose you're involved in too much of managerial situations where you're exposing your mind to everything that you're not supposed to, then coming back to a neutral position is not as easy. And I also have a question, Prabhu. So the sincerity that you mentioned about, how do we determine whether, because mind is always filled up with ego.
It's self-effulgent. When you come across your own sincerity, it's self-effulgent. You know what it is. You see it, and it's like the sun. You don't say, was that the sun or not? You know it when you see it. But you have to pray for it. You have to actually try to find it and embrace it and be fully conscious of it and make that the focal point of your life, that's the most important thing. Because there are many distractions, and there are also competing desires within the heart. And this is why Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Prabhupada, went into great detail in this purport in the Chaitanya Charitamrita and elsewhere, describing how, along with the bhakti creeper growing, there are other kinds of weeds that grow up that look, in their infancy, just like the bhakti creeper. So one has to be careful to identify what is actually my sincere desire for devotional service, and what are the kinds of desires that are actually masquerading as that, but are actually material desires. Because as we chant, we're doing the watering process, the shravanadi jal. And if we water the weeds, then they'll grow up nicely and strongly, and they'll choke out the bhakti creeper. So gardening is a science of maintenance. You have to be there regularly. The best fertilizer is the gardener's shadow, which means that you have to show up and look at your garden regularly, otherwise it'll fall apart. It'll be overrun. That's what I meant. Yes.
Yes, Maharaj. Just a reflection from yesterday. We have people from other faith who showed up yesterday, and they were close to, they parked their table next to where we usually keep our table for the book distribution. Initially, I tried to negotiate, but then I felt they are a little bit in a confrontation mode. But then slowly I followed your example when you appreciate what they are doing, because they were not a harsh preacher, you know, they are showing their philosophy, so peaceful coexisting. So I listened to their philosophy for 5 minutes or 7 minutes, and I appreciated that, you know, we need more people like you to make this as a better place to live. And they were so happy. So I felt like, you know, we could have, like, you know, get mad or angry, you know, all these things, but I said, you know, coexist. They were not even, you know, disturbing or making any, you know, cross-selling, so that, you know, disturbing our neighbors and all that. So it went really well. Initially we thought this could be a really pain, but I followed your example too.
Well done. Yeah, really well done. And also, you know, when I saw that table up there, I sensed when I first came there, that's why I jumped right in and started kirtan. I didn't know what their intentions were or whatever. I just said, let's get the vibration going. It's almost like when you, in India, when you install a deity, then legally it's your property. Sorry, deity's already installed. You get there and start chanting, and it's like, sorry, we're already chanting here. There's nothing we can do about it. But also, I was thinking about how when we go out into public, anything can happen. I've had this experience over several years or decades going out into public, and one's mind might think, well, this is how it's going to be. And then you get there and go, what? What are they doing here? This is my place. But you can't think that in public. You have to realize that there are other living entities out there. And they have their own agendas. They have their own presentations. Even some of them sincerely presenting spiritual philosophy and so forth. We do have to learn how to coexist. So it's actually a character builder to go out into public. And always expect the unexpected when you get out there, because anything can happen. When you're in public, you can be a target. You're putting yourself out there for anybody to come and express their opposing views. And besides all the people who get who come and appreciate what we're doing, there's that also. But it's all beneficial. Did you have your hand up? Okay, yes. Texts. Internet. Last ones. And then we'll have Guru Puja.
This one is from Bhakt Sudeep. He's at home recovering from cold and cough, but he says that he's glued to the screen and ignoring any phone calls. He just doesn't want this Krishna Katha to stop. Then we have a message from North Carolina, and it is Shantala. It says, my humble obeisances to Vaishishika Prabhu and my heartfelt thanks to him. His words ring in my ears whenever my mind gets distracted to the day from the lotus feet of the Lord. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
And then the last one is, our humble obeisances, you all, the fortunate devotees at ISV. Thank you for the wonderful reading, and we felt that how amazing it is that one can immediately associate with such exalted personalities by listening to the pure words emanating from the scriptures. It is even more relishing when heard from your lotus mouth as you read. And this can be done seated anywhere on the planet. Feeling very inspired and uplifted, your servants from UK, Davesh, Vindarika, Sridham, and Sachi.
Haribo. Well, that was beautiful. Really heart-rending. We got a chance today to hear from Sanatan Goswami. I mean, I don't know what could be better than that. We are in such a good position. We have full opportunity to expand the Sankirtan movement because we have H-1 visas. Hari one. This is Hari one. Over. we have full opportunity and a field of preaching which is practically unlimited. So to give your whole attention to this activity of hearing and chanting from the reservoir of spiritual knowledge that Srila Prabhupada provided for us, and which continues to expand. And also by going out and giving people in innovative ways an opportunity to chant Hare Krishna and take the process of devotional service. By this endeavor alone, these two things, you'll go back home, back to Godhead without a doubt. And also, as in conclusion to the theme of the class, take close shelter of devotees. All devotees are important to the Lord, and therefore, simply by the use of restraint throughout one's life, not criticizing devotees, even if you do that, and you make it a policy that I don't criticize devotees from any realm, then Krishna will help you to very quickly advance in devotional service. What to speak of those who glorify devotees and attach themselves to a Vaishnav, or the Vaishnavs who are particularly dear to the Lord due to taking responsibility to expand his movement all over the world. That is a true recipe for success in devotional service, as evidenced by our readings today. Thank you very much. Thanks to all the devotees who joined us online and for all of you here in the live studio of ISD.